As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. It's your post-game workout. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
There's a shot off the shoulder. Bouncing puck into the net. Adam Henrique may have got it the last. It went off the shoulder of Sparks. And Henrique was able to just get a tip of it on the puck. And it just trickled by Sparks and into the goal. And it's 2-1 New Jersey.
Well, that was it. The New Jersey Devils took a lead they would never relinquish. Adam Henrique, his first of two goals tonight, actually got 30 for the season when it was all said and done. Joe Bowen with the call. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. Ends up being a 5-1 final. Leafs had the early lead. P.A. Parenteau gave them a 1-0 lead very early in the game. And then, Todd, I thought that, you know, listening to the broadcast as well, hearing Mike Johnson as well, as we had the radio and TV on, just saying, you know, if you come to game number 81, 30th overall, you might as well finish game number 82, 30th overall. And the Leafs did that.
That's exactly what I was thinking when I heard that, too. I thought it was a good comment by Mr. Johnson. And it's the truth. You've had a year where you knew it was going to be a long, hard, arduous season. And to get to the point where you are right now, you know, it makes no sense to jump up any more than where you are. Give yourself the best opportunity. It's been a painful year. Mike Babcock reminded us of that. And it is what it is. And, you know, we're finally here. 82 games. The season is over. The Leafs are where they thought they would be. I don't know if they thought they'd be dead last, but they are. And now they have an opportunity to try to rebuild through the draft. Long, painful season done. Thank goodness, Gord, in terms of just like for these guys and now you can move on and they can start thinking about the process of building this team up, whether it's with current players or players outside of the Leafs organization, concentrate on the Marlies and the Calder Cup and move on from here. But I'm sure everyone's kind of relieved that this painful season has come to an end.
And we do welcome Leafs Nation postgame callers in at 870-590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Our first caller might just put Matt Brown into shock when it comes through, but we'll see if it, again, 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. We have our Tip Top Taylor player of the game will be coming up. A reminder as well. Period was brought to you by Direct Energy, providing energy solutions for Canadian businesses. We will have our Direct Energy play of the game coming up in a few minutes' time as well. And we'll hear from head coach Mike Babcock and much, much more. And it's great that they really whip through this game as well. So we get bonus time on the Leafs Nation postgame show. We always love that when it's not the 2 hours. It's actually 2 hours and 25 minutes.
Well, last game of the Leafs season, there's going to be a lot to talk about.
Well,
and
it's always good having a show as long as the game.
Well, and you know what? And there's going to be a lot of fans calling, I think. I think they're going to surprise us tonight. There's going to be a lot of opinions of what's going to happen. We look forward to your calls, so please call in and discuss your favorite hockey team.
Well, and again, to go back, and so many things to talk about today as Detroit and Philadelphia are in, Boston isn't. I'm sure everyone has heard about that. So we'll chat about that. And the out-of-town scores, all 30 teams playing tonight. And we do, 870-590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. They love their hockey in Sudbury. JP in Sudbury. Hi, JP.
Yes, Gord. Well, I want to say all the best to you guys for the summer, and I really enjoy listening to you over the winter. So hopefully better times next year.
Yeah, and you know what? We will be back for the conference finals and Stanley Cup final as well, Todd and myself, doing pregame intermissions and postgames. So, well, but anyway, I appreciate that. We get a bit of a break, and thank you very much for that, JP.
I'll be listening to you there, too. I can't resist listening to you. So, but hopefully better times ahead next year, and the long and winding road is over for this year. And I think with the management level that the Leafs have and the staff they have with Mark Hunter also, I think they'll be planning ahead and drafting well, and I think that's the best way to do it. As I said earlier this year, The best way is to work through the draft. And, you know, if the young players come along well, then you can start adding on, like, veterans. And, hey, maybe you never know. I'm still hoping for Stamkos next year, too. So I think it'll be a better times next year. And hopefully we'll never have a year like this again.
Yeah, no, you, JP, your sentiments, absolutely, you know, bang on. And thanks very much for the call. I know, Todd, we were talking to Billy Hoppe in Buffalo about how the Buffalo Sabres looked at it in their second year, like about the rebuild. Well, you just stop making fun about rebuilds. No, I had it right. You think I'm being too optimistic. But he was talking about the way, and you want it incrementally.
Well, if you're going to have a bit, all right, if you're going to have a bit of a rebuild and you're gonna have a team that you're going to basically model yourselves after. I mean, the Buffalo Sabres are a good team.
You think I make too much of the Buffalo Sabres, but I like that incremental rebuild this year, and you're number two. Let's hear. That was nice. JP in Sudbury. Mike in Ajax. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Good, thanks. Great. Very much. It's our last one, so you can talk about the game or the 82 games or looking ahead.
A little bit of both, all three. I thought the effort was there all year. That I liked, obviously. I hope we get the first overall pick, and maybe with the luck of draw, we get Austin Matthews, and who knows, maybe Steve Stamkos will decide to come home. I think what I would like to say is I think next year is still, no matter what happens, whether they make the playoffs or not, is irrelevant. It's year three that is important.
Why is that? I say this out of real curiosity. Why do people have such a finite time frame in the sense that what's wrong with making the playoffs next year? If you are developing the right way, right? I get
being
it.
Realistic,
if you,
I think.
No, but if you make it and fall back, I can see where, whatever. I'm just curious.
Okay, the reason is this. We obviously have to look at the coach, okay? Well, mm-hmm. I don't care who it is. I want to see constant improvement, and we're supposed to be in, quote, rebuild mode. I'm 55. All right, that's fine. Everything looks like it's on the rails, okay? So whether we slightly overachieve next year or not, that's not what the expectations should be. When we got Babcock and company coming in, 3 years is a realistic target to be competitive. Competitive, we're in the final eight. A little bit of luck, maybe the final four, just to get a taste. But we got to make it, A, into the playoffs in year three. And getting to the final eight is an accomplishment, not just getting there. We want to get there and compete. We don't want to just get to the dance and then get kicked out after round one. We want to at least get there, compete. That will be, to me, if everything is on the rails. With Babcock, the drafting, we've got the right guy, I think, in place. If he doesn't know junior hockey, my God, who does it? So I think everything's in place. Like I said, yeah, if we slightly overachieve next year, that's fine, but let's not regress in year three.
Okay, you know, I loved Mike Babcock's line when he said, I'm going to be here 8 years at my contract, and then we're going to be good, so I'm going to sign for another two.
Yeah, no, exactly. Hey, you know, to the caller's point, I think I know where he's coming from. I think one of the things is you don't want to see all of a sudden the Leafs making, you know, they went through it this year, they did it the right way, and then to get a little bit of trigger, maybe get trigger happy, and all of a sudden you're signing a couple unrestricted free agents, you're making some trades that you think you can get there quicker. So I think it's just a cautious route that the Leafs want to take. They've done it the right way this year. So I think that what the caller is saying is just continue the path. Don't get crazy. I mean, if good deals come up your way that it's not going to hurt your organization in the long term, then yeah, no, that's great. But don't go crazy. I mean, and that's one thing when people are going to say, you know, you're gonna break the bank for Steven Stamkos, and I mean, that's one thing. There is room. There is room in the cap to do things, but they have to be smart with their money, smart with the moves that they're going to make, so we don't find ourselves in the Brian Burke era where we keep on trying to just make the playoffs every single year and it sets you back. So they're on a great path right now. Continue that. See what happens. They got 20% chance of getting the first overall pick. Doesn't mean they're going to get it, but you know what? Now they're guaranteed in the top four, Gord, and there's four unbelievable players that are available in the draft. So it's going to be interesting where they go. I don't think they're going to lose out now because of where they're going to ultimately draft.
I got Brandon in Georgetown up next, calling us at 870-0590, *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, guys. How are you doing this evening?
We're good.
Good. I just want to end up making one small point, and it just kind of shows exactly what the Maple Leafs plan for their future is. Isn't it ironic that the Maple Leafs have finished 30th in the NHL, but their farm team, the Toronto Marlies, have finished first place before the season even finishes, clinched the first place spot in the AHL, and just showing young guys they have that they're going to be using a lot in the future years, and just how much talent this crew actually has as a whole, not just the NHL, but the whole entire organization.
Well, it's the hope is, unlike was it 4 years ago? Was it 4 years ago? They made it to the final, yeah, against John Cooper's Norfolk team. Mm-hmm. And you see those guys playing, a few of them with the Tampa Bay Lightning, because you're right, but except not enough of those guys came from the Toronto Marlies then to play with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So you know, you can't argue with that, Todd, about what you want out of your AHL team is you want young players, which they've had more this time than they did a few years ago, and you want a winning environment and atmosphere. So that is a huge plus.
Well, we talked about this before, and what it is the last time that the Marlies went to the Calder Cup, it was a veteran-laced team. The Mike Zigomanis, like you said, and some other guys. And there really wasn't a lot of guys that were there long-term projects for the Toronto Marlies. I mean, you know, the core players went on to whether it be Europe or other places, but they weren't part of the Maple Leafs organization. Whereas this year, this version of the Toronto Marlies, there's some serious talent down there. And they're doing extremely well. Sheldon Keefe, a great young coach, going in there and guiding them. But you can't lose perspective of what it is. It is the American Hockey League, and it's a big jump. So if you're expecting massive leaps and bounds next year with these young guys, you know, if you think that Michael or William Nylander is going to come up here next year and score 30 goals, 40 goals, it'd be great if it happened. But realistically, it's going to take some time for him to develop, as it will with the Zach Hymans and other guys that may make the jump. But yeah, there's quite a lot of talent down there. And I think that's the way that it was made to be this year. They knew it wasn't going to be a good year up here. Let's make sure that our minor team is stocked and loaded and is surrounded with good people to have a nice long run in the playoffs and give them that experience. So when they do get to the Toronto Maple Leafs and it's their chance to have a long run in the playoffs, these guys have that experience, whether it's the American League or the National Hockey League. Playoffs are always a good thing to have under your belt.
Leafs Nation post game brought to you by your GTA Acura dealer, Sportsdelic Todd Alushko, taking your phone calls on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Armin in Toronto. Hi, Armin.
Hello there.
Carmen. Sorry, Carmen. Hi, Carmen. We're good.
No problem. It all works. A little bit on the Leafs this whole season. I think we got what we were promised. And hopefully the next couple of years we'll see the same promises that we are given that will continue. And the other thing I was going to speak about is I haven't heard this in terms. This is in terms of the draft. And what if they held a draft before the start of the regular season? That, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, and have it as either as a lottery as you wish, or it's as simple as yeah, I have a lottery for when you pick, and you have it for the year. You can trade it, sell it.
So what, you pick all? So you pick last September for next June's lottery position, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you own it for that year, so you can trade it with other teams, you know, and then the same thing the following year, so that there's no reward necessarily for finishing last.
So you can win the lottery to pick first, then if you come first place, like say the Chicago Blackhawks or LA Kings, you still pick first?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Or you can trade it to another team.
Yeah, you can always trade them. Well, that's certainly an interesting notion. We appreciate all the feedback. Thanks very much, Carmen. Different way to do the draft.
Yeah, Carmen was very mellow with that.
Yeah.
And under, you know, I liked it's an interesting concept, but I mean, that's, you might as well just throw names in a hat and pick it out and go from there. So, but you know what? Listen, it's the draft lottery to me, the suggestion that I made, Gord, if he's going to bring this up, is I said, what if you had the draft lottery right after the trade deadline? Because then right after the trade deadline, people aren't trying to, you know, dump guys in order to finish dead last or other spots. You end up, you know, you can still make a run for it. And this way, you know, the last 20 games of the season, whatever, really means something. Whereas tonight, it's just a throwaway game. No one really cares if they win or lose. I mean, there's so many different ways. The draft lottery so far, it is what it is right now. What I like right now is that we have an opportunity to get the first pick overall. We have a 20% chance
And we're going to play that simulator
soon,
too.
Yeah, we will get a chance to play that again.
Now
we
can talk. The whole last half hour.
Talk too much about that topic.
Let's okay, let's go Manny in North York. Hey, Manny.
Hi, Gord. Hi, Todd. How are you?
Well, it's good. Hey, good, Manny. Good to have you back.
Listen, Babcock is not God. And let me tell you something. He can draft the world over. But what does it take, Todd, to really win a Stanley Cup? It doesn't take three good lines. What does it take? And Chicago's got it. Would you say good goaltending? And he doesn't have good goaltending now in Sparks or whatever. Unless he goes out and gets a real number one goaltender for next year, he may get to the big dance. But if he doesn't and drafts all these players without a goaltender, and Todd, this guy they got from the Boston College, this Polish fella, he's down in the Marlies now.
Kazmir, yep.
Yeah, what is he like?
Besides being Polish?
No, what is his play like?
Oh, no, he's a big goaltender. He's got top-end talent. I mean, the guy's he's been extremely good in the college ranks. But again, it's a young guy. You don't know what you're getting. Goaltenders,
yeah, this is it. You don't know what you're getting until you see, a full season in the AHL?
Well, to your point, I'll just intervene here. To your point, you're talking about Chicago, what Chicago has, and they have goaltending. Well, I'll tell you what Chicago has that Toronto doesn't have. They've got top six forwards that Toronto doesn't have, and they've got top four defensemen that Toronto doesn't have. That's why Chicago wins cups. Every single year, you've got a Patrick Kane, you've got a Jonathan Toews. You need to have, and you've got a Shea Weber, Seabrook on the back end. You need to have guys like that. And Toronto doesn't have that. So it's not just goaltending. There's a whole bunch. And like you said, they have to continue to develop guys. And that's why it's a slow process right now. And nothing's going to happen overnight.
Is that good enough for you, Manny?
You too, Todd. Have a wonderful summer. Looking forward to hearing you next fall.
Awesome.
Sounds good. There you go. Good answer, Todd. 870-590. Star 590 on your cell phone.
I love
network.
The callers. Keep it coming tonight. They're awesome.
Well, it's good. It's good. You know, and
is there a full moon outside?
No. Or? And you've... And in the press box, I know like guys like Jimmy DeVellano, yeah. Guys, you know, you talked to
love
extensively
Jimmy, yeah.
About how you build an organization from the ground up. He did it with the Detroit Red Wings about drafting and everything else. And we were saying that Mrs. Miriam Ilitch, when they won that Stanley Cup, she gave him credit. I think it was the last Stanley Cup about when they had to build through the draft and all that. And it was a painful process. And he lives in Toronto, Jimmy D. So we run into him there quite a bit, quite often. Yeah, and it's sort of mirroring what he did in Detroit. Like, got to do now. I know you garner that from your conversation.
Well, yeah, no, I love talking to Jimmy D. He's a wealth of knowledge. He's been around for a while, and obviously he really admires you when we're in there having conversations all the time.
We go way back, Jimmy.
Well, he loves to pick your brain all the time, so it's interesting getting conversation. But, you know, we talk about the drafts. You know what's going to be interesting, Gord? Yes, you have to draft well. But at the end of the day, Lou Lamoriello is going to have to figure out what type of veteran players that he can get in free agency or trades that are going to help develop the talent that they have right now in the Marlies and the young guys are going to come up that are going to be able to help groom these guys. Now, the guys like the Brooks Light that you have right now, the Colin Greenings, there's a lot of good pieces, but not all these guys are going to be back next year. So this is going to be a really interesting, not only in the draft, but coming into the free agency and trying to figure out, all right, are we going to have guys that are going to be around 2 or 3 years? Or is Lou Lamoriello and Mike Babcock going to go back into the free agent pool and groom guys for like the same thing they did this year, have them play until the trade deadline and flip them and try to get more draft picks? Or have we now moved away from that? They've got a ton in the cupboard this year in terms of draft picks. Are we going to move on and they're going to sign guys to 2 and 3 year deals to try to grow with this young group of guys? It's going to be very interesting. But we're not too sure what direction they're going to go. I would assume that they're going to find some real quality veterans to move forward with this young group.
We'll come back. John Shannon's going to join us. We've got our direct energy player of the game. We've got our Tip Top Taylor's player of the game. Lots coming up. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko. It was a 5-1 win, the final regular season game. 5-1 win for the New Jersey Devils. A 5-1 loss for the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Breaking down the game in a fanatic, obsessive, bordering on unhealthy manner. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Centering pass, they score! Patrick Elias! A turnover back of the Toronto goal, and the veteran Patrick Elias finishes off a marvelous career with a goal and two assists.
A little highlight there, you heard mentioned by earlier in the update by Matt Brown. As far as that was our Direct Energy play of the game. And Direct Energy, of course, providing all your energy needs. That was Patrick Elias. Nice one. I know Garrett Sparks will disagree. Fifth and final New Jersey Devil goal. A little bit of confusion behind the Leaf net for that in the waning seconds, but certainly the Devils fan. So that was the perfect fitting ending for them as they win 5-1. That fifth and final goal, the Devils 5, the Toronto Maple Leafs 1. Gord Stellick and Todd Alushko welcoming you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Yeah, you know, to see Patrick Elias, I mean, that was kind of nice to see him scoring a game that doesn't mean much. I mean, if this would have been a situation where the Leafs needed to win this game to get into the playoffs or something like that, it would have been a little disappointing. But, you know, to celebrate Patrick Elias, 408 goals for Patrick Elias over his time with the New Jersey Devils. I mean, I'll tell you what, this is the type of player that, you know, every year he's not in an organization that that gets a lot of press for goal scorers coming out of there. And, you know, they don't have the 50 goal scorers every single year, but there's one guy that was consistent his entire career, and that was Patrick Elias. I mean, 20, 30 goal seasons, it was crazy. Really, really cool to see him being celebrated, especially getting that last goal late in the third period, which is ultimately his last game as a Devil.
John Shannon of Sportsnet joining Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko. And Shanny, I don't, you know, you on air, and then when you're off air producing games, you try to sell a story, sell a game, sell whatever. I mean, that you would have made your money tonight. What did you buy?
You would have made your money on any of the games on Hockey Night tonight when you consider it. I mean, you're buying. Are the Leafs going to be 30th? And then you're right. The Lou Lamoriello story and Patrick Elias. Those are the two stories in the Devils game for sure.
So what, you know, is this? What do we categorize this now, Shanny? Is this deemed a successful season because the Leafs did finish 30th overall, and that's 30th place, and that's ultimately where they wanted to finish? Like, how is the season going to be remembered now?
Well, if you're gonna try to claim that, Todd, then the season's not over.
Yeah, that's true.
The season ends on April the 30th when you find out what you draft. But I think overall, I mean, basically, I think you have to deem it as a failure. I mean, in the end, what's the goal? The goal is to be one of the top 16 and be in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I know that this is rebuild, and I know that, you know, Brendan and Mike and Lou and everybody have a great idea of what they're supposed to do. But did you see enough promise down the way? Did you see enough hope for the future? And if you're talking about, we're still figuring out whether it's Patrick Laine or Austin Matthews that's going to play for the Maple Leafs next year, then I think it's a failure.
Well, and it's also a funny animal, and this is where I say the Shanahan, Lamoriello, and probably particularly Babcock, equity and cachet have bought time and bought credibility with Leaf fans. It's Shanny and Todd, I was saying this being the pregame show, I know a lot of people that will say to me, wow, I love this with the young kids. That was great with the young kids. I barely watched the first 60 games, yet I liked a little bit with the young kids. I'm not watching this last week, but I really have bought into what they're doing, even though I'm not actively watching it right now. So yeah, it's a funny kind of success.
Well, you know, I mean, again, Gordon, I hate to remind you, you've been through this. In that you run the risk of having the fans either not care or be angry. And now they've added a third one, and that is hopeful. And do people do Maple Leaf fans see light at the end of the tunnel? I mean, they still care. I think we saw that particularly there, Canada Center, when the young kids were playing. But, you know, the concern I have is, are they going to turn it off again for the next 60 games next year? When this team, gosh almighty, I don't see it being much better. Do you?
No.
Well, you got to be the one team that's ridiculous goaltending. One team in each conference usually does. That would be the one way. That's my answer, probably saying no as well.
Yeah, I mean, well, and if you're rebuilding this hockey club, you're building it for 2 or 3 years down the way, you're not spending a lot of money on goaltending next year. You're going to nurture Garrett Sparks. You're going to hopefully nurture Antoine Bebo, and then you have the decision of whether you can try to get another draft pick or two for Jonathan Bernier's last year on his contract, or do you just say, okay, we're going to swallow the $4.5 million and live with Bernier, who, by the way, up until tonight was pretty good the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, I was just going to say, if he gives you that kind of goaltending like he did this past month, yeah, you're actually a team that has a chance to eke into the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, no, but seriously, Gordon, this wasn't the, I mean, what we, do you think the team that we saw that where the Maple Leafs were a top 8 to 10 team in the Eastern Conference?
No, absolutely.
So then they're not, then, I mean, even in the last month, I mean, that's the real frustration of, at least for, I think for the hardcore fan, is that if somebody walks out and says, boy, look how well they played, look at the numbers since the All-Star break, you know, unfortunately, people took them lightly. Unfortunately, teams came to Toronto and said, hey, it's only the Maple Leafs, and didn't really expect too much of the opposition. And it was sure fun to watch and create a little bit of artificial hope, but I don't think this is the team that's going to start to win a lot in October, November, December next year.
So then John, this kind of leads to the next question I was going to ask, and I pose this to Gord. Does Lou Lamoriello and Mike Babcock, do they, in terms of the building, do they go back in the offseason and start signing, you know, veterans that are kind of journeyman guys again, like they did with the Sean Mathias, the P.A. Parentos, all these guys, Brad Boys, and do the same thing they did this year, bring some guys in on a one-year contract, and hopefully some of them have good years, and then flip them again for draft picks again? Or are they going to look for a couple more veterans that maybe are going to be around a little bit longer and are going to be here to groom the young guys that are coming up? Like, I mean, what do you think the plan is going to be next year when it comes to that?
I think we're going to see a lot more young guys this time around. I think we're going to see a lot more of the guys. I think we're going to see the, not necessarily the experimentation, but I think we're going to see the opportunity for 6 or 7 of the younger Leaf prospects playing a lot more next year early in the season. Do I think they're going to sign as many of those journeyman veterans? I don't think they're going to sign as many, but I expect them to sign a couple to get to the next, you know, get through this phase. I mean, this is really no different than building a house, you know, building the foundation and building the walls and building the roof. And you know, right now, I guess they're just finishing pouring the concrete in the foundation, but it's still not hardened. You know, I mean, they still have to hope the walls stand up properly.
And it's a house that's been vacant for a decade.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, and that's, Gordy, bang on. That's the other thing is the other prospects, the prospects that were here the last 5 years have kind of evaporated. The one thing you have to wonder, though, if they want to accelerate it, will they take all these draft picks? Will they take all these situations and start to trade a couple of guys here and there in order to get some veteran players in place?
Yeah, no, it's like you said, all kinds of questions and that we'll talk a lot more about the real season for the Maple Leafs, unfortunately, being the off season. I know you've had a long day. We appreciate you hopping on, Shanny, and we'll have more to talk about. We'll have playoffs to talk about, and of course, we'll catch you on Sportsnet chatting about us as well. Thanks for making time tonight.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Gord. Thanks, Todd.
John Shannon joining us from Sportsnet. We'll be back after taking a break here. It's a 5-1 win for the New Jersey Devils over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. about tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's as simple as, I have a lottery for when you pick, and you have it for the year. You can trade it, sell it.
It is a night of many thoughts, ideas, unusual, and novel, as that caller provided earlier on Leafs Nation postgame. We welcome you back. It was a 5-1 New Jersey Devil victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Gord Stellick, Todd Olushko. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Leafs Radio Network. My nephew James, and he liked the draft idea as well. He had never heard it before. So
I had a good buddy, my buddy Johnny Gaudette in Guelph. Yeah. He liked that idea as well. I mean, so keep them coming. Keep the ideas coming.
Now here's where I'm starting to think. You know, we're starting to think about Stamkos. So and by the way, thanks to John Shannon for joining us in that.
Yep.
Where, you know, the idea about going for Steve Stamkos as a UFA.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought one more. How about this one? You get all the stuff kind of in place, and then you go after Connor McDavid as a restricted free agent, right? You go after him as a restricted free agent, and then they can problem is they can match and all that. But you know, you find out. I don't know.
You tender that offer sheet.
Well, you tender the offer, and then once he's letting Evan to know if he wants to come here and not stay there. See, I'm getting a little carried away. Let's go.
Hey, you were talking about down the future, right? Well, so you're visiting still, down
yeah,
the future.
Well, that's one. I mean, you know.
I love the way you think, Gord. That's good
well,
stuff.
Well, they have it there. It's still called a free agent.
You got that.
Even though restricted, so go for it. Tom, joining us. How are you, Tom?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
All right. With regards to the draft lottery, I was thinking, in order to keep teams from tanking, why not do a reverse lottery, whereby the team that finishes 30th has the worst chance of getting the number one pick? Right? And this way, I mean, it forces teams to, you know, actually go for it, I mean, as much as they can. And who knows what happens? I mean, you'll have a free for all, like, you know, over the last week of the season, with guys going all out trying to improve our understanding just mailing it in for the last.
So wait a second. You're saying the Leafs would have tried harder if they knew you had to be in first place to get the first overall pick?
Well, they might have been less inclined to, you know, to play some young guys, and you know, it seems to me like, you know, with record numbers of man games missed due to, you know, quote unquote injuries, mysterious injuries, guys disappearing for, like, you know, for months on end, like Jimmy Hoffa. I mean, you know, you might see teams actually working that much harder.
You know,
if the Leafs are going to finish 30th, you know what? It'll be an honest effort from the top of the organization to the bottom.
Listen, you're not too far off. But what they should do, and I've heard this concept, it's not my idea. Thanks for the call, by the way. But I'm trying to remember who I heard this from, but I thought this was pretty cool. When the trade deadline is over, what happens is you basically have a race. So whatever position you are in, if you're out of the draft lottery, or if you're if you're in the draft lottery and you're in the bottom half of 16, 17 teams, what it is, it's a race. The team that has the best record after the trade deadline is over, Gord, that team gets the number one overall pick. You know what I mean? So
Do you want to lie down during the break or take some medication? Not a bad,
no, but the reason why I say that, listen, we're throwing every idea out. There's a full moon out there. I'm throwing my idea out there. So what happens is, everyone, you know, instead of people throwing deals away and getting rid of guys to have draft picks down the road, you try to strengthen your team somewhat, or maybe not make as many moves. And then the team that after the trade deadline has the best record, that's how you dictate on who gets first, second, third, fourth, fifth. So Toronto could be dead last right now, or say the Boston Bruins are in the playoff mix or outside of the playoff mix. They come in and, again, it's like Toronto had the best record, I believe, of all the Canadian teams after the trade deadline. So all of a sudden they get the chance. Ultimately, they finish third anyways, but they get 20%. But I'm just saying 100% chance, whoever, God, I just ruined that all, did I? Did you get any of that? Because I didn't.
No, we're going to figure it. No,
yeah, let's just drop that.
It was to give you some impetus to play hard after the trade deadline.
That's basically what we're saying.
So at the trade deadline, you start at zero again. And who has the best record from the trade deadline on?
Yeah, gets the first overall pick. So you can explain it better than I. But that's it.
Okay, that's worth discussing.
No, it's not.
On another station.
Roll your eyes at me.
Alexander Ovechkin has got a hat trick. He's got 50 goals this year, by the way. And who's our next caller? We have one more before the break. Andrew in Toronto. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, guys. Good evening. Quick question for you. The Leafs definitely need to sign when a free agent out there, someone who's got some leadership, you know, who's got at least, you know, 5+, maybe more, 6+ years in the league. And why would the Leafs not be interested in a guy like Eric Staal? He's 31, so he's got, you know, a good 4 or 5 years left. He's got a Stanley Cup. He's got a Olympic gold. I mean, he has all the credentials. He's a big boy. He can be a good center and a good leader. Why are they talking about Stamkos, who I don't think will ever sign here? And second of all, do you have concerns about the Leafs' goaltending prospects? Because the Leafs have always had goaltending. Right now, their AHL goalies are unproven and untested. And after next season, no one's going to take that contract off your hands with regard to Bernier. So goaltending is a big hole for this team. Would you agree?
I'll step up and answer your first question in terms of Staal. I have no reason that Toronto wouldn't be interested in a guy like Eric Staal. It's just gonna depend on what type of money he wants. I mean,
next year, lots of room under the cap right now.
There is, but is he a Steven Stamkos type player? No, he's probably on the back end of his career right now, and he would be a nice piece for a couple of years if the price is right. Now, if you're looking in terms of the goaltending side of things, you got Jonathan Bernier another year. This team isn't going anywhere anytime soon. And you really don't know what you got in Bebo or Sparkship because you haven't surrounded them with quality players. I mean, you ask any NHL team and ask any NHL goalie, you look at Martin Brodeur and all the years that he was great. I mean, it's a bad example, but he had unbelievable defense in front of him. If you put Jonathan Bernier or put Garrett Sparks in front of, the Chicago Blackhawks defensive core, you're going to get many more wins. So you can't give up on these kids just yet. Give them a chance to develop. And this team is not going to be, a playoff ready team within the next couple of years. So you have a little bit of grace time. You have an opportunity to see if these guys grow. If they don't, then I've always been an advocate of you can go out on the free agent market when you have to. When your team is that good and you're ready to win, you can go out and you can give up some of your draft picks, maybe trade a big guy to get a free agent goaltender or make a trade in the offseason. So to me, developing a goaltender isn't that important to me. I think that you can always go out and make that blockbuster trade to put you over the top when the time comes to have that number one goalie.
Okay, appreciate that. We'll chat more about that. Just got to get some breaks in. We've appreciated all the callers we've had. We'll try to take some more as we carry on. It was a 5-1 New Jersey Devil victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll be 30th and get the highest odds of getting a top pick in the NHL entry draft. We'll come back with more Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. The game is the meal. We're the after-dinner drinks. Pour yourself a cold one. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Centering pass, they score. Patrick Elias. A turnover back of the Toronto goal, and the veteran Patrick Elias finishes off a marvelous career with a goal and two assists.
Yeah, it was a perfect night in Jersey. They got to honor Lou Lamoriello as well as first game back there as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Patrick Elias, a guy that Lou Lamoriello will be very familiar with. He gets that goal. I know Garrett Sparks was pretty pissed off. I mean, he wasn't happy about that.
He stormed off afterwards.
He's with a few seconds left, but a goal and two assists. There was just sort of a misunderstanding between Marinson and him, I think, at the end, about who had the puck. So anyway, he makes that play. That's the final goal. 5-1 win for the New Jersey Devils over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Welcome back. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And the Leafs Radio Network, we get Todd Alushko to pick our Tip Top Tailor players, player of the game, Leaf player of the game. Tip Top Tailors, your menswear store.
This may be an odd choice tonight, but I'm going to go with this guy. He was on the back end tonight. It was the most minutes he's ever played.
I was going to pick the same guy.
Yeah, most minutes he's ever played tonight. And here's a kid that had to put up with all sorts of garbage at the beginning of the season, not to see any ice time for about 25 or 30 straight games. And then who would have thought at the end of the season, Frankie Corrado plays 24 minutes and 46 seconds. He was a minus two and had a couple shots. I mean, there was only two guys in this whole Leaf roster that were either, you know, that were zero or even. Everyone else was minus. But Frankie Corrado, give him credit. He stuck with it. I'm proud of the kid. Hopefully he's going to make a – he'll be around next year and see his development go a little bit more. But 24 minutes, 46 seconds. Defenseman Frankie Corrado is our tip-top player of the game tonight.
Way to go, Frankie Corrado, tip-top Taylor player of the game. And, yeah, you mentioned all the minutes he played. You know, here's what also indicates and shows the amount of injuries and that's gone through the Toronto Maple Leafs. Look at who the numbers 2 through 19, okay? 2 through 19. You know, like, normally that's a whole team. That used to be the whole team. You know, you used to get numbers maybe up to 30, and that was it. P.A. Parenteau wears number 15. That's the only player on the roster with a number from 2 to 19. New Jersey has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Nine players. From two, like, I mean, those are, I mean, well, you can go in the 20s as well, but those are hockey player numbers.
Yes.
2 to 19. There's nobody from 2 to 14.
No. Well, that that indicates.
You know, a lot of them are injured, and you know, but just Dion Phaneuf, 4-3, of course, are gone and whatever, you know.
Every time you look at a training camp roster, all the rookies got the high numbers, and that's what happens when they get called up. It's not a regular number. So, yeah, that's, you've got all your rookies wearing the high numbers, and you know what? The season is now officially in the books for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It is now time. I mean, they did what they wanted to do. They got the draft. It's making you and I and thousands of other Leaf fans extremely happy that they did not jump up, an extra spot in the standings on the 82nd game of the season. So,
But as Joe Bowen says, though, it's an unfortunate year, though.
Sure. Oh, yeah, of course.
Because last year, you know, everyone.
The draft lottery's this year, not. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You
had two picks.
So you could be picking second overall. Sure. You would be guaranteed of being picking second overall now. You very well could be picking fourth. And I think it's a good time here for. I got the NHL draft lottery simulator.
Oh, hang on. Before you go, it was a good segue with what you just said. Yeah. And I was going to get this because I never had a chance before. But I was ready for this. If the Toronto Maple Leafs do not get the first overall pick, not the second, not the third, there are some pretty healthy players that were picked fourth overall. And I'll give you a couple quick ones. So it keeps everybody's hopes up a little bit if they don't get it, that turned out. So one of the picks in 2014, Sam Bennett, Calgary Flames, going to be a decent player. In 2014, Seth Jones was a fourth overall pick. 2010, Ryan Johansson was a fourth overall pick. In 2009, Evander Kane was a fourth overall pick. So they're not bad players in there, and I'm telling you that this draft is very solid 1-5. So it was so important for Toronto not to fall out of that top five pick, and they didn't. And now they're going to get a solid player within that draft.
And Lanny McDonald and Ally Afraidy were fourth overall picks.
Were
there's
they?
A few more. Yep.
There absolutely you go.
Were. Okay, here we go. NHL lottery draft simulator that you got me addicted to. We'll see. And so the Toronto Maple Leafs have a 20% chance. And meanwhile, the New Jersey Devils have a 3% chance. So let's see. Winnipeg Jets, first overall.
Okay.
Vancouver Canucks, second overall. Toronto Maple Leafs, third overall.
All right.
There we go. An All-Canadian.
Okay, you did that. I want to do one myself because it's you on your computer on mine. Okay. I'm going to do one time. I got the Edmonton Oilers. We don't want to see that. Toronto Maple Leafs second, Vancouver Canucks third. So, you know, the 20% chance, like I said, is much better than a 13.5%. I know it's not great. My math skills would tell me that 6.5% difference. So, listen, they finished where they wanted to finish. They've given themselves the best opportunity. Let's be happy with that.
Okay. Let's be happy with that. Well said. Well said. Let's be happy with that.
Love the enthusiasm.
I'm trying to figure out here a few things. Okay.
What, my math? Of no, 20% to 13.5 is 6.5?
No, we got everything going here. Got everything right here. I'm just trying to, figure out a few odds and ends here. We'll just got a few minutes left before we, who scored, Vancouver? Yeah. Okay, so Edmonton's down 1-0. So it's good the Leafs did all that as far as it went. We're going to hear from Mike Babcock later on. We'll hang on to that for a bit. From Mike Babcock in a few minutes' time and some of the principals involved in tonight's game. And what were the final shots here? So 36-20, and 19 of those shots were in the first period.
Yeah.
So the Devils really, you know, if the Leafs get that first goal and the Devils really, really dominated the rest of the period, and that's why you look at Garrett Sparks being annoyed at the end of the game, but you can kind of understand it.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, obviously, we look at what was in front of him as well. I mean, from having veteran defensemen in front of him to all of a sudden having basically 1, 2, 3, 4, basically five guys that are basically minor, well, four guys that are minor leaguers, and I'm including Marinson in that with Andrew Cammell, TJ Brennan, and Frankie Corrado. I mean, that's it. You're not going to, and this is one of the callers was talking about, we have to have better goaltending. Listen, you have to have it's a combination. It's not just the goaltender. You have to have a solid back end. And right now on this defensive core that Toronto has is they've got two NHL caliber defensemen, Morgan Rielly and Jake Gardner. And when Matt Hunwick is healthy, he's one as well. So, you know, that's obviously a big piece of not having him. So, yeah, you can put the blame on the goaltenders and say Garrett Sparks isn't ready. But the truth of it is there's not a whole lot of goaltenders in the National Hockey League that would be successful with this defense core that was played tonight in front of them and looking for great success. Goalies would have to stand on their head on a consistent basis night in and night out.
Well, and one disconcerting note, he only played 2 minutes. One reason Frankie Corrado got to play that ice time was Andrew Cammell.
Yep.
And upper body injury, took a pretty good hit. As you said, worried it could be a concussion. They won't say that, of course, but he's the captain of the Toronto Marlies. I mean, he is viewed as a stud on the blue line when they go after that Calder Cup title starting next week. So we'll wait for more evaluation, but happened in the first period, just played a little over 2 minutes in the game and was out. So we'll try to get more update. I imagine they got to wait a day or two or three to figure that out.
Yeah, and he got popped. He got popped by Santini as well. His first game in the National Hockey League for the New Jersey Devils too. So I'm sure that adds salt into the wound that Andrew Campbell's getting popped by a rookie in the National Hockey League or the American League for that matter. So yeah, that's going to be a tough blow for those guys if it is long term. But let's hope for the best for Andrew Cammell, not only for himself, but the Toronto Marlies, because he is going to be a big part in that dressing room. Anytime you have a captain and you have the voice in the room, that goes a long ways in the success of a team in the playoffs. So, you know, best wishes to him, and hopefully he comes back healthy.
Yeah, I think the Leafs will be back and able to listen to our show. You know that?
Probably.
I think that's the kind of thing with the, because it was a quick game. Looking at guys like Brad Boyes. 12 minutes, 35 seconds of ice time, three shots on net. You know, trying to make an impression. TJ Brennan, he got 25 minutes.
Right, he was most ice time.
TJ Brennan, the guy that, you know, the first game he played, he only got about 5 or 6 minutes. So, you know, guys are getting chances to play, which is nice to see. Sam Carrick, 13 minutes, 43 seconds. Freddie Gauthier, 14 minutes, 12 seconds. There was a stat up there that I'm going to try to name the player. Oh, I think they're actually easy to name. Only five players in tonight's lineup, Maple Leaf lineup tonight, played the last game of the season last year.
Yeah. What?
Unbelievable. What? So you got Bernier, you've got Alex, you've got Rielly, Gardner, Komarov, and Bozak, I guess. Those would be the five, right?
Well, that's what this season was all about. You knew, I'd be surprised if it was more than that right now, right? So, I mean, a lot of guys that were injured, obviously, that could have been in the lineup but are out. But the one thing I wanted to just race back a little bit, and you talked about TJ Brennan. The one thing that I don't know if we mentioned or not, that pretty nice honor bestowed on him earlier today, that he has been awarded the first team all-star defenseman in the American Hockey League. So a nice little award for him.
Absolutely. TJ Brennan, he'll be back to show his wares, and it'll be great for fans to get out there, catch some Toronto Marley Calder Cup playoff action. Hopefully it's going to be a long run. We will come back with more Leafs Nation postgame. They lose 5-1 tonight to the New Jersey Devils. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free.
As simple as, I have a lottery for when you pick, and you have it for the year. You can trade it, sell it.
And we got it. We have all kinds of calls chatting about tonight's game and some novel ideas. Our Leafs Nation postgame callers out in droves and being creative. That was Carmen, and chatting about his idea, novel idea about the draft. And we're talking a lot about the draft and other things. Is the Toronto Maple Leafs guarantee the best odds in the NHL lotteries as far as this year's draft goes? We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. A 5-1 win for the New Jersey Devils over the Toronto Maple Leafs, so that's what guarantees it. And how about for such a great novel idea by Carmen, a little NHL draft lottery simulator.
Sure, let's do it. You know what, to add on Carmen, it'd be nice if you could buy the percentages from the other teams too right now.
That would
be it.
So
you could buy Edmonton's and then you could buy Vancouver's.
The soccer way.
Yeah, here you go. So first one, Columbus Blue Jackets.
Ooh.
Arizona Coyotes.
Ooh.
Toronto Maple Leafs.
Cat.
There you go. There you go.
Columbus, Arizona, Toronto. Okay, that was it. So we're going to play the draft lottery for the next hour.
5 hours?
No. You know what? This is the last chance we get to hear Mike Babcock. And 82 games, 82 times he came out and chatted. 82 times we aired his complete press conference after the game. And we've heard the many different sides. There was the kinder, gentler early on when they struggled. There was the stricter, kinder, firmer as time got on. Unafraid to challenge the Nazem Kadri's, Jonathan Bernier's, and others in the world. And then there's been the last potpourri 10 games about more philosophical things, life things, stuff like that. Let's hear, after tonight's 5-1 loss, the final game of the season from Leaf head coach Mike Babcock.
Tough predicament tonight when you're playing with four defensemen at one point against this club?
Well, obviously, I mean, we just rolled our guys out the door here. And, you know, I thought Sparks did a good job in the first period. We took three minors. And like you say, we had four D, like it was playing D. In the end, though, you know, the season's come to a close here, obviously. Lots of really good things have happened for the Toronto Maple Leafs this year. We've guaranteed ourselves today's loss, obviously, with a top four pick. You know, the future of our organization, I think, is very bright. There's still some pain coming, but we're going to get a lot better very fast. And now we're excited to watch our young kids play in the American League playoffs and see how they can do there. And obviously, we've got a good group there, so it should be fun for them.
Do you take last place personally?
You know, I don't know. You earn it, so I guess you got to say. I don't spend a whole lot of time worrying about that. I just, what I do is evaluate the work we've done and how we've gone about it. I really like the attitude of our guys. I like the changes we've made. I like how we're set up to move ahead. So, you know, I think, I guess it's like anything, is a short-term pain for long-term gain. And, you know, don't get me wrong, it's hard to do. It's tough. Like it's way more fun to win every night, I can tell you that. It's way more energizing.
You have an update on Campbell?
Yeah, I think it'll be all right here. He got obviously drilled there, and, you know, unfortunate for him, and we could have used him here tonight, but... him and Brennan begin a good opportunity here, a reward for what they did for the Marlies, and they can get on with it tomorrow.
What's the significance of tomorrow, the interviews, and you can give them the marching orders and get some feedback as well?
Well, yeah, I guess what I would say to you is this. It's pretty straightforward. Is we got a bunch of guys going to the Marlies. We got some free agents, and so we don't have any information for them just because of the fact that we don't know what's going to take place. We got a whole bunch of guys who need to have big NHL summers and get prepared and move ahead. We got a lot of kids that are going to be battling, and it's going to be competitive for jobs in the fall. And then as a management team, we'll get to work and make sure we're prepared. I know Hunts will be all ready for the draft, and we'll be prepared for free agency and make sure we have a team that isn't missing the playoffs.
Do you like 20% odds?
Well, this is the way I look at it. Is I don't know exactly how all the odds stack up, but I know that the latest we can pick is fourth. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
So there you go. You got the fourth pick.
Yes, sir. Fourth pick. He didn't say anything and say goodnight and all that stuff. See you guys.
No, he seems relieved, I guess, that it's over. I mean, that's a tough season for a coach that's been used to winning and stuff, and it just seems like he's probably pretty happy that he's done answering these questions for now. I mean, there'll be a ton more, I guess. I think the press, there's a press conference tomorrow morning, I believe, that everyone's, and yeah, producer Matty Brown's got to get down there bright. First thing in the morning, he's excited about that. Get down and listen to some more. So there'll be some more questions, more answered tomorrow for Mike Babcock. But I think that, you know, as well as everyone else, probably relieved this is all done. And I'm sure he's looking forward to coaching a little bit more talented team when the World Cup of Hockey comes around in September. So we'll see.
Well, it was last year on this Black Sunday, 18 guys were fired, 18 people in the Leaf organization, including general manager Dave Nonis, Peter Horchuk. Steve Spott caught on with the San Jose Sharks, Who was the other assistant last year that Is Steve Stale speaking behind the bench? There was another one. Where's he now? Yeah, that's right. Horchuk moved up. That's right. And Stale, so that's right, with the Hamilton Bulldogs. So the other one was, of course, Peter Horchuk. Hard to believe. You know, he was a Brendan Shanahan hire. That's not hard to believe. But just that was his only year there. Like, you know, he got to experience a great start as assistant coach. And then what a terrible, like this, like it is a lot better perspective-wise. And maybe that's what we look at, the not even a silver lining, but just attitudinally people are braced for this, expect this, versus last year where it was just, beyond abysmal. Mm-hmm. Had been unexpected, turnaround, you name it. And then on Sunday, which would be tomorrow, the 18 people were fired throughout the organization. Then Monday, they had the press conference. I remember Brendan Shanahan, and actually I asked him the question about, you know, about him becoming general manager, since he was kind of like the Riddler. Yeah, his line was about the general manager's job. He said, it's not a job for everybody, and everybody's not suited for this job.
Sure.
And so I don't think anybody at that moment thought in a million years that Lou Lamoriello would get the job. Not a knock against Lou. It just wasn't something on the radar. And so it is interesting, the different things he's been pulling out. You know, Mark Hunter's from his London days, junior. You got Lou Lamoriello, the general manager that drafted him with the New Jersey Devils. Mike Babcock, a coach that he played for with the Detroit Red Wings, as he then a guy like Kyle Dubas, who he had no connection with, just felt was a bright young mind out of junior, and Brandon Pridham, who was working with the NHL Player Association and things like that, like sort of a crackerjack executive guy. So put that team together. But then had Lou come in and take over the team, which is strange because in New Jersey,
it's Lou's show.
It was Lou's show.
Yeah,
totally.
And I think that for the most part, when he came in, I mean, Lou was probably under the understanding of what he was allowed to do and what he wasn't. I mean, he knew he had a coach in Mike Babcock that's here for, you know, seems like an eternity with his contract. So I'm sure that there was a mutual respect amongst all those guys, and they respect each other's views. And maybe Lou's had to curb a few of his rules and have a little bit more of an open mind. But at the end of the day, Lou's still the general manager. And I think, though, Gord, that the most important person right now is Mark Hunter. I mean, that's the guy right now. The reason why they got rid of all those scouts and all those people, you know, last year was because they felt that they weren't getting, you know, they had lack of success in the draft. So what do? You go get a guy that's been integrated in junior hockey for the last, 7-8 years, and he knows these guys inside out. So this is, don't get it wrong, like this is Mark Hunter's draft. This isn't Lou Lamoriello's draft or Shanahan's or Babcock's. This is Mark Hunter's and maybe Kyle Dubas that matter.
And it was theirs last year as well. And certainly Hunter, that's his big first call, Mitch Marner over Noah Hanifin.
Sure.
So we'll see how all that plays out. But you're, and Babcock alluded to that about Hunts and handling the draft, all kinds of picks, and hopefully making the right ones. Before we have to take a break, and we'll chat more about that, we always like to hear on Saturdays two regular contributors on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It's called the second emission. It's called Hockey Headlines with Damian Cox and Elliot Friedman. And here's what they had tonight.
Listen, it's the last Saturday headlines of the regular season. Mm-hmm. Don't screw it up.
Good luck with that. Damian, as we get close to the playoffs, the injuries are mounting, particularly in Tampa.
They really are, and as Ron and Don talked about in the first period intermission, Tyler Johnson injured on this play, believed to be an upper body injury. To update it, he has not returned to the game. Greg Patterson could be facing a suspension from NHL player safety, and Johnson added to a list of injuries in Tampa that include Steve Stamkos, Anton Strahlman, and Nikita Kucherov, also not in the Tampa Bay lineup tonight.
In Pittsburgh, Marc-Andre Fleury is already out with a concussion. Earlier today, Matt Murray, who's become the starting goaltender in Fleury's absence, left the game after a collision with Braden Schenn. Mike Sullivan would not give any real update after the game. He said he'll be reevaluated tomorrow in Pennsylvania, but that would be huge pending Fleury's status. Also, Eric Staal hurt today, but the word on him is good. Damien, expected to be okay for the playoffs.
Now, the word in Ottawa is not good, and Brian Murray told me today he's not going to wait very long to make decisions on both the future of himself and head coach Dave Cameron. It's expected either tomorrow or Monday we're going to hear from Ottawa on the future of those two guys. In Boston, the Bruins will miss the playoffs. And there's a lot of speculation that Claude Julien will not be back for a 10th year with the Bruins. He is the NHL's longest serving coach.
It would be wild if Cameron knocks out
Julien,
and then it goes the other way around, if that's where it goes. Mm-hmm. In Colorado, Joe Sakic said today that Patrick Waugh will return as the head coach. And also, there had been rumors this year that Sakic would not stay after this year. He wouldn't want to keep the position. Joe Sakic is staying as well. One other situation to watch is Arizona. They've been together for 7 years. Dave Tippett and Don Maloney, they've done a great job under very difficult circumstances. But there are rumblings that there could be changes at the end of the season. Tippett has an out, but it's believed that he wants to stay. Don't know Maloney's status. He, like the many people in the Arizona organization, are not commenting. Islanders.
Right. We talked about all the Tampa Bay injuries. What about the New York Islanders? Travis Hamonic, Yaroslav Halak, Mikhail Golubovsky, and here Anders Lee, their power forward, breaking his leg, expected to miss all the playoffs. Now, what the Islanders might do is look to their junior ranks. They have two first-round picks, Michael Dalcol of Kingston, Josh Hosang of Niagara. They're actually playing each other in a playoff series. One could be available later this week.
And, George, finally, Thatcher Demko, the Boston College goaltender who belongs to the Canucks and can be a free agent after next year. He's told the team he will wait at least a week before making a decision on his future.
I'm proud of you. Nice job.
There you have it, Damian Cox. Elliot Friedman tonight, hockey headlines to a few things. And, Matt Murray, you seem to think he's going to be okay. Just about, we're chatting about earlier today because that could be added to the injuries. We're going to talk when we come back about the what happened this afternoon. Wow. I mean, in games that mattered as far as playoffs went, it was pretty interesting, very unfortunate for one team. One other team was very fortunate in losing and getting in, that being Detroit. And then the Philadelphia Flyers, I guess, taking advantage of their good fortune of no Sidney Crosby, Chris Letang and that, and then Matt Murray. And a number three goaltender ultimately in Pittsburgh's Zatkoff.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a couple of people in Pittsburgh that I was briefly texting and stuff, and the indication was it's Matt Murray was kind of a precautionary thing. Obviously, he gets hit pretty hard, the whiplash, and then all of a sudden the concussion protocol. And for Pittsburgh, too, even if he was feeling fine, why would you put him back in a nothing game and risk him going down again? I mean, this kid has done a lot for your organization, and if... if Marc-Andre Fleury is not ready, you want this kid to be at his healthiest. So, and it's a game that meant nothing to them. It meant a lot to Boston. Boston wasn't too happy to see him come out and Zadkov go in. But at the end of the day, you're taking care of your assets and making sure you're doing what's best for your organization heading into the playoffs.
And, it's about the Pittsburgh Penguins and that, and we'll chat about that a little bit later on. Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, a few other things, other injury notes going on, and we'll play the Claude Julien tape, too, later on, because it was pretty, I'm going to say raw. Maybe that's a bit of a stretch, but certainly Claude Julien understanding his fate, understand the reality, is just an abysmal, incredibly disappointing finish by the Boston Bruins. Well, I guess a predictable finish, as advertised by the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. They lose 5-1 to the New Jersey Devils in Patrick Elias' last game, possibly. He gets the last goal of the game. We'll be back with more Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
I guess it's like anything, is a short-term pain for long-term gain. And, don't get me wrong, it's hard to do. It's tough. It's way more fun to win every night, I can tell you that. It's way more energizing.
Mike Babcock, head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and basically, he's not used to this happening with his times with Detroit and Anaheim. And Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, welcoming you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. A very active out-of-town scoreboard we'll get to in a few minutes' time. We'll hear from some of the other players, some of the players involved in tonight's game. But, it's, first of all, love the name Smiley Kaufman. Is that the guy's name? Was
second place.
Yeah, second place in the Masters. Great sports name. And the other part is he really? He's a big Arizona Coyotes fan. Jeez, like Austin Matthews.
I believe he lives down there, so he's playing all the time, and why wouldn't he go to the games?
Well, good on him. Good stuff. Now, it's interesting, Mike Babcock, all this assumption how Leafs are in a better place for next year. How are they in a better place? Like, what have you seen this year? And well, I'm not saying that cynically, as Paul. I'm just curious. Like, you know,
well, I think it's him. I think he's putting a lot of the emphasis on him because I've basically his blueprints, his fingerprints are all over it. I think that's what he's kind of getting at. Is he's had a year under his belt to work with some of these young guys, work with the guys that are here now, the Nazem Kadri type guys, the Gardeners, the Rileys. I believe that he puts value in his own coaching of what he's done. So by him saying that they're in a better place now, it's because he's had a chance to work with these kids that are moving forward, and now they have a year under his guidance. So that's what I'm assuming he's saying by that, because I know what you're saying, Gord. I mean, how much better can they be? They finished worst, like last place this year.
Well, so what kids are we talking about? We know Morgan Rielly, and I think there's been encouraging things there. Up front, Nazem Kadri. Then who else? Well, I mean, these kids came up for a few weeks still.
Well, the Jake Gardeners of the world, the guys that are going to be around, I think that
well,
he
there's
just.
There's a third one. Well, there's not that many.
No,
I know,
but
I mean,
the kids that did get an opportunity, I think obviously he's got his. Down in the minors, Sheldon Keith is basically following the same systems and doing the same things that Mike Babcock is doing up. So they're basically learning the exact same thing that they're doing up with the Leafs down in the Marlies organization. So when they do come up, nothing's new to them. So that's I'm just justifying what I think what his meaning is by
but
that.
But we keep leaning on what we saw in the American Hockey League as, you know, it's
as a guideline.
I mean, I look at a gauntlet challenge, like whether it's signing Steven Stamkos or whatever it may be, but something to make the team appreciably better. I don't, you know, it's funny. We just keep accepting this as being good as enough. It's just a very...
Well, it's a 1 year, Gord. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think this is going to be accepted if it the same result is again next year. Yeah, absolutely not. Like you've said before, everyone bought in. They gave him the year. This is what happened. I mean, it doesn't mean it's going to speed up the process of how this team is going to develop. But, you know, we gave him it's a one-off. So here you go. This is your pass. Now show us improvement in the offseason, whether it's free agent signings or letting these young guys come up and let's see if they have developed like you said they will.
Well, it's 1 year for Babcock and Lamoriello. It's 2 years for Shanahan.
Yep.
It's 11 out of 12 years for Toronto Maple Leaf fans. So it's a long time. Garrett Sparks, and you think of the young man who's recorded a shutout in his first start with the Toronto Maple Leafs way back when. He ends up playing 17 games. Goals against average gets a little bit inflated at the end of it all, 3.02 with the lack of support in a couple of games, a couple of ordinary games for him along the way as well. But thought he played well tonight, Todd.
I've got no problems with Garrett Sparks any of the games that he's played. I mean, this is a learning curve for him. Excited to come up when he did get a chance. Played extremely well his first few games, and then it settled in. This isn't a big athletic goaltender that just needs to work a little bit on his positioning at the beginning of throughout the offseason. He's going to go down now to the Marlies. He's going to get a chance to play some really important games in the playoffs, and I think this is a growing I think he's going to be back as our backup next year, and I think that it's going to be another year where he's going to hopefully get 20, 25 games in the minors, maybe more. And this is a goaltender that you're going to work with. He's a young kid. He's 22 years old. Give this kid an opportunity to play on a regular basis. I think this kid's going to develop into something.
Well, let's hear after tonight's 5-1 loss, goaltender Garrett Sparks.
Did you give your club a chance to win this hockey game here tonight? How did it feel from your perspective?
I made some good saves, and I let in some goals that I definitely should have had. So I felt good, though. You know, I think making saves is more important than, you know, than the ones that went in and you wish you could have done again. So I think it's important at this level to, you know, give your team a chance as much as you can. And, you know, that's my main focus every time I go out there.
How's your mindset now going back to the Marlies, Garrett?
I'm just excited to rejoin that team. And I think I could speak for everybody, you know, that's going to join me back down there and saying that we're excited to play some playoff hockey with that team. And we're really determined to take it as far as we can go.
What stands out most about everything you've come through this year, kind of your first experience up in the NHL?
Well, it hasn't been easy, but it's taught me a lot about what I have to do over the summer to prepare to, you know, attempt to earn a spot full time next year. So, I've learned a lot. I've gone through some hard things, and I feel like I'm a better goalie and a better person for it. So. I'm just going to take those things and take them back to the Marlies with me and continue to improve.
What was the number one thing you think you learned or stood out the most?
Just being prepared, being ready. You know, things happen in this league in the split second. And, you know, things go from fine to not so good very quick. So it's just that mental edge of being on for 60 full minutes.
Do you think it will be tough to readjust to the AHL at all? Sometimes guys go up and down. It's,
no.
I don't know if it matters for a goalie.
I think playing behind that Marlies team, it should be okay.
Is a short summer in your best interest, Garrett, looking ahead to what you might get done with the Marlies and then after that?
Yeah, I don't think I'll be taking a whole lot of time off this summer. This is a big summer for me.
What's the biggest difference you've seen between the high-end scorer in the AHL and some of the biggest snipers up here?
I mean, you got guys like Willie Nylander, you know, who are in the AHL, but he's more of an anomaly than a regular AHL sniper. So guys are dangerous down there, but the vision up here and the options that they have at all times is what's different. You know, guys are always open, and they always have two options. You know, they can either shoot or they can pass it, and those are the things that keep you honest as a goalie.
Well, quite the word anomaly. How about that?
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, good for him. Garrett Sparks. Yeah, good for him.
Right, guy. You know, he was making a reference to going back to the Marlies, and is it going to be a tough transition? And he made the point, as you know, it's going to be pretty easy to play with that team down there. And, you reach back to your own experiences of what you did as a player, and you can really relate to what he's doing. I ran into the same situation playing with a strong team in St. John's, New Brunswick, that we had a chance to go all the way to the Calder Cup Finals. We ended up losing to Philadelphia. But you get into that winning environment, and, you know, it has been tough for him. Just being up here in terms of not winning. You're down in the Marlies, you can't lose a game. You come up with Toronto, and it's difficult to get a couple points every game. I think that he is extremely excited, as the other guys are, to go down there and to try to win a championship with that core group. It's a tight-knit family down there. They're extremely happy to go down. And I think Garrett Sparks hit it right on the head. We're saying this is an extremely important summer for him, not only for a long run in the Calder Cup playoffs, but improving as much as he can coming back to camp so he can compete for the backup job with the Toronto Maple Leafs next year.
Well, Tyler Bozak, and I look at him that one of the guys you could say is when I say a follower, part of the nucleus, and that became a bit of a negative, I think, last year. That he may have been led astray or whatever the terminology be, where this year, the new culture, just about simple basic things like don't stick it to your fans with salute gate and those kinds of things is the bare minimum, he subscribed to as well. And he was a minus one tonight, played 14 minutes, 44 seconds. He'll finish the season playing in 57 games, 12 goals, 23 assists, 35 points this year. Here he is after tonight's 5-1 loss, Tyler Bozak.
For the time that you were here and healthy?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously disappointing, the way we finish. And, he didn't win enough. You obviously want to make the playoffs, and we didn't do our job, so it's disappointing. But, in the end, it was nice to see, some young guys come up and show what they can do. And I'm sure it has some excitement around town.
Tyler, you're the veteran here. This is the lowest the team has finished with you here. Yet the optimism is probably second only to the finish of the playoffs. What do you make of that?
I mean, for us in here, we're pretty disappointed. I know the guys that have been here the whole year are not happy with the way we played and how the season went. But, there's definitely excitement around the team. I think, you see the young guys play and they're doing a really good job. They got a lot of talent. And, you just saw them grow and get better and better each game as the end of the season went on. So I'm that's exciting for the fans and, for the future here.
So many veterans traded, hurt, some suspended. Have you seen the rest of you guys who've been here to lead this team see your games grow despite the fact that it was a tough ending to the year?
Yeah, I mean, we played hard at the end. We tried to, win as many games as we can. We had a lot of new faces, trying to find chemistry with new guys. And, but again, I thought all the young guys and, the call-ups and the guys we got in trades, I thought, they all played well. They came in here and did well and learned the system quickly and got better and better each and every game. And it was fun to be a part of it and, be able to meet a lot of new guys and see some of these young kids play.
Is there any emotion associated with the last game of the season, last game that this group's going to be together?
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough. You make a lot of friendships with a lot of guys and, summer comes and
you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to be here next year, who's not. So it's obviously, you know, tough when it's all over. You spend a lot of time with each and every guy in here, and, you know, it's done. So it's tough.
Tyler Bozak, and, you know, you look at his career, just that one playoff series with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So personal success as one of those guys that was not drafted. And the Christian Hansens of the world had more notoriety when they came out as those NCAA guys that went through. And he's made it. And it'll be interesting. They're committed to him contractually. I can't see it being a contract they're able to move. And I find him an intriguing piece about, you know, now in his very early 30s, how he maybe grows and evolves.
Well, yeah, you stated that. He's a 30-year-old kid. And for me, Gord, I don't think the contract is that crazy anymore when you look at other contracts that are out there. And, I mean, he's a second, third-line center on a good hockey club. So I think, you know, I thought maybe a year ago or so you would have thought that maybe that would have been an automatic guy to be moved out. But we saw when Tyler Bozak was out how the team did struggle in terms of having not enough leaders on the team and stuff. He came back. His very first game back, he came back from injury, played a significant role in the victory for the Leafs. And Tyler Bozak is an interesting person. Like you said, I think he got caught up in the wrong leadership group last year where he kind of just followed the crowd. And I think that he's grown as a player this year. And I think that the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to lean on him a little bit next year. I don't think he's going anywhere. I really don't. I mean, if you get rid of him, well, listen, now you got to replace another guy. You're replacing someone, another veteran guy. This is one of the leaders that they have. They've got him under contract right now. I don't think it's a crazy number they're paying him. And for him to come back next year and you know, be a mentor guy, maybe he's here for two, maybe three more years. But I think they need players like Tyler Bozak. And I don't think he's going anywhere. I may be completely wrong. They may have a different plan for him. But I think he's the type of player that you do keep around because he's a nice piece and he fits in with this club and hopefully will grow with the young guys.
Yeah, you know, it's the guys that are remaining to go over them as we, you know, really look. There really were no new young guys. The one guy was William Nylander with the Toronto Marlies and Mitch Marner, who stayed in junior. And then you saw how Zach Hyman played and Soshnikov and, you know, Kapanen, and they all showed some real positives about playing in the National Hockey League. Now, the key is to be positives. And Connor Carrick, I thought, on defense. But do you play in the NHL? Are you part of the guys that ultimately you grow as well and bring the Leafs to the promised land? Or are you guys that are Zach Sill types or just a little bit better? They're Sean Mathias types or Mike Santarelli types or, you know, Mason Raymond types. You know, those kinds of guys that David Booth, plug it for a year or two. That's where you have to get some guys to join Tyler Bozak,
yes,
and Nazem Kadri and whoever that are part of the nucleus and part of being here for a while and part of moving forward and part of moving onward and upward.
Well, this is why it's going to be an interesting summer right now. Is, I mean, they did that before when they brought in the big names. They're bringing the David Clarksons and the David Bolins, all these guys that they brought in that, you know, I think they misvalued where their team was. And it was a wrong time to bring these guys in and pay all the money. And eventually what they did is they just had to try to trade these contracts away so they could get back to a starting point again. Well, they're back to the starting point again where they have an opportunity to make some moves. And again, it's making the right moves and figuring out where this team actually is in terms of the development. And we all know that they're a 30-place team now. They're not going to be any, you know, a lot better next year, but that's also going to depend, Gord, on the draft. It's going to depend on a couple of free agencies, and it's going to depend on the talent that they have in terms of evaluating players on the open market to see what they can get to make this team better. And I think the group that is in place right now, you've got to give them that opportunity, give them another year. I know you said Shanahan's been 2 years on the job, but Lou and Babs, they've got 1 year on the job. Give them the opportunity right now, see what they can do in the offseason. And then, you know, it's easier to make a pass judgment as we move forward in this summer. But as you know, as like what everyone else, all the Leaf fans have right now, there is that hope. There's that hope that they're going to get better. I mean, there's only up from here. So that's why I look at it. Hopefully they stay the course, but hopefully they can add a few important pieces that's going to maybe speed up the process just a little bit.
Well, let's hear from the Maple Leaf head coach after tonight's 5-1 loss. Let's hear from Mike Babcock.
Tough predicament tonight when you're playing with four defensemen at one point against this club?
Well, obviously, I mean, we just rolled our guys out the door here. And, you know, I thought Sparks did a good job in the first period. We took three minors. And we, like you say, we had four D like it was playing D. In the end, though, you know, the season's come to a close here, obviously. Lots of really good things have happened for the Toronto Maple Leafs this year. We've guaranteed ourselves today's loss, obviously, with a top four pick. You know, the future of our organization, I think, is very bright. There's still some pain coming, but we're going to get a lot better very fast. And now we're excited to watch our young kids play in the American League playoffs and see how they can do there. And obviously, we've got a good group there, so it should be fun for them.
Do you take last place personally?
You know, I don't know. You earn it. So I guess you could say I don't spend a whole lot of time worrying about that. I just, what I do is evaluate the work we've done and how we've gone about it. I really like the attitude of our guys. I like the changes we've made. I like how we're set up to move ahead. So, you know, I think I guess it's like anything, is it short-term pain for long-term gain. And you know, don't get me wrong, it's hard to do. It's tough. Like, it's way more fun to win every night, I can tell you that. It's way more energizing.
You have an update on Campbell?
Yeah, I think it'll be all right here. He got obviously drilled there, and you know, unfortunate for him, and we could have used him here tonight, but him and Brennan are getting a good opportunity here, a reward for what they did for the Marlies, and they can get on with it tomorrow. Well, yeah, I guess what I would say to you is this. It's pretty straightforward. Is we got a bunch of guys going to the Marlies. We got some free agents, and so we don't have any information for them just because of the fact that we don't know what's going to take place. We got a whole bunch of guys who need to have big NHL summers and get prepared and move ahead. We got a lot of kids that are going to be battling, and it's going to be competitive for jobs in the fall. And then as a management team, we'll get to work and make sure we're prepared. I know Hunts will be all ready for the draft, and we'll be prepared for free agency and make sure we have a team that isn't missing the playoffs.
You like 20% odds?
Well, this is the way I look at it. Is I don't know exactly how all the odds stack up, but I know that the latest we can pick is fourth. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
So there you go. You got the fourth pick.
Yes, sir. Got the fourth pick. Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock. How about let's hear from P.A. Parenteau, and that was the one highlight. It gave the Maple Leafs a 1-0 lead. It was his 20th goal of the season. Again, as we talk about these kinds of pickups, you know, year in, year out, just guys that play a year or two, some really thrive like P.A. Parenteau, some just kind of fall by the wayside. But P.A. Parenteau coming over as a free agent for the Montreal Canadiens, the only Leaf to score 20 goals this season. He got his 20th tonight in the 5-1 loss. Here he is after the game.
Bittersweet year for you, I guess, PA, looking back on it and getting the 20th here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice, like I said, to hit a milestone like that, and I felt pretty good personally about my year, yeah.
How disappointed are you guys overall, though, at the season?
Well, obviously, we finished last in the league, so you can't be happy about that, but at the same time, there's a lot of positive for this hockey team coming up.
Yep.
The draft, all the prospects that came up and played really well and showed that they're ready for the NHL. I can name you a few. I won't, but there's a few that are definitely ready for sure. So there's a lot of positive for the organization moving forward for sure.
Does it feel like kind of a unique feeling for a last place team to have that much positivity surrounding it?
A little bit, but I think the fans are aware of what's going on in Toronto. You can't fool them. You know, it's it was a year of not rebuilding. You don't want to use that word, but knowing what they have in their system and knowing what they have in Toronto as well. So I think, like I said, the future is really bright for the team, and that's all you have to look at it if you're a part of this team.
Will you give serious consideration to coming back next season?
Yeah, absolutely. I said it before. I mean, I loved it here. They were real nice to me, too. They you know, they gave me another chance after a real tough year last year in Montreal with injuries and stuff. So, yeah, absolutely, I would love to come back here.
What are the emotions, or if any, that come with the last game of the season, knowing this is the last time this group will be together?
There's a lot of good guys. I made a lot of good friends this year. It's a really good group of guys. I mean, there's almost 50 guys that wear the uniform this year, which is pretty, you don't see that really often, but I mean, I made some good friends and some good relationships, so it's never fun to end the year like that.
Well, you know, having a good season with a team having a bad season, it's just, you like to have both in place, but if you, the team not having a good season, better the team having a bad season, best you be one of the few guys that, relatively to what expectations were, has a good season. And P.A. Parenteau was one of those.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. And it's interesting. He said that he'd like to come back. I mean, do you think that they would bring P.A. Parenteau back? I mean, he found a little bit of chemistry with William Nylander when he was there. Is he the type of guy that would be one of those core guys that they would maybe reward a two-year contract to and bring him back?
Well, like Daniel Winnick got last year,
yeah.
Right? They got him a two-year contract and they're able to trade him. So depending on what coin it is, but I could see that. I could see that. I mean, you have to have players back. You have to have players that can play at the NHL level. There's not 15 guys that are going to magically appear like the belief is William Nylander will. There's not 14 others that way. So, yeah, definitely. What about you?
Well, yeah, I think they'll throw something at him. I think they're going to make him realize that, you know, you maybe go hunt out in the free agent, maybe try to get something that, you know, that would maybe reward you for the 20-goal season you had. And if it doesn't happen, then maybe come back and visit us again. We're probably not going to give you the money that you're looking for. But if you like Toronto that much, maybe it's, you know, the old hometown discount. Would you like to come back? And I mean, he had success here. He enjoyed it here. So I've always been one of the adage that grass isn't always greener somewhere else. If you find some place that you're comfortable with and you know and you want to play and you're going to be a part of it, you're going to get ice time, then maybe he does come back at a discounted price. And then he becomes one of those veterans that can lead some of the young guys into the further years. So I don't know. I think he's a decent. I don't know what he's like in the dressing room. I don't know him personally. If he's a good guy in the dressing room, he gets along with everybody. That's going to go a long ways.
I just gave Matt Brown the signal. We're ready for break, so we will do that. We'll hold on to the out of town scores till right after. And it was a wild and woolly afternoon and evening around the National Hockey League. We'll touch base with that, and we'll bring it home one more. Leafs Nation post-game segment. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand.
It's as simple as, I have a lottery from which to when you pick, and you have it for the year. You can trade it, sell it.
No shortage of original ideas from our callers tonight. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, a 5-1 win for the New Jersey Devils over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Terry Koshin joining us from the Toronto Sun, and you know, that's all she wrote, Terry. I guess as expected, it was a long season, and for the sake of Leaf fans especially, I hope that there legitimately is light at the end of the tunnel, as opposed to the hope of the last decade that constantly got missed.
Yeah, there is light at the end of the tunnel, Gord. I think you can, Brian Burke always used to argue that, you know, don't blame us for 67 or don't look that far back in the team's history and refer to it. And, we'll apply that to this team now. And this management group and coaching staff going forward, they weren't responsible for anything that happened before May 20th last year when Mike Babcock was hired. And do they finish last? Yes. Does he like that? No. 29 wins. The fewest they've had in quite a while. First, last place to finish in '85, as you know. But the fact of the matter is, there were good things that happened. There's a different vibe around the team. It's not even a vibe. It's just the atmosphere, the culture, all that is changing. And, there's still some people out there that are calling you on it and everything and that sort of thing. But I would argue that they, might not have been paying very close attention to it. I just think that this is another spin job coming from the Leafs, but I can tell you, having been around the team all year, it's different. And there are some good stepping stones in place and all of that. Now we'll see if Austin Matthews becomes another one. Of course, they have the best chance to draft him now, or to win the lottery at least, to turn that right to draft him and go from there. But, you know, you take the record out of the equation, which, you know, I know is a sticking point for some people, and that's fine. But the fact is, some good things that happened for this team on the ice this year and off. So, you know, it's full steam ahead. And the other thing is too, guys, is that I can't remember covering a coach with this team who just has the kind of confidence that Mike Babcock has. And there's no beating around the bush. You said it again tonight after the game. we're going to get better fast here. And that's all there is to it. So we'll see.
Terry, you know, Gordon and I were talking, and we were listening to Mike Babcock's comments, and he was making points about, you know, he sees good things that happened this year, and he sees improvement with what's going to happen. And my interpretation of that is, you know, Gord's like, well, what did we really see? Like, what players did improve? Like, who got what? And my interpretation was, he feels confident, like you said, in himself, that he's had a year of coaching these kids under his regime. And that right. means the guys in the minors, the Nazem Kadri and stuff. He truly believes that he's made a difference in these young guys. And I think that's what he's saying when he says that this team has improved, even though they finished 30th place. He believes in his skill set that he's made these kids better by having them under his wing for one complete year. Would you agree in that comment?
Yeah, I would. And the other part of that, too, is Lou Lamoriello and what he's done behind the scenes. And, you know, a lot of us scoff at the, like, for example, the shaving rule, daily shaving. You know, don't show up at the rink with any type of a beard or anything like that. But small thing, but it's part of the responsibility that leads into the bigger picture. And, you know, it's just, it was required around this team, especially at the end of last season. And I've said to you guys before, they took a big step forward when they traded Phil Kessel. They took another step forward when they traded Dion Phaneuf, and for different reasons. I still think they just had to get Kessel out of that room. And Phaneuf was, of course, another piece of that pass that you didn't necessarily want going forward. And, you know, it turns out they got a pretty nice package in return for Phaneuf, and really didn't give up a lot with the ex-captain. So, you know, there's a lot of ways you can look at it, guys. But, you know, the bottom line is, you're right, Todd, Mike Babcock now, he didn't have an idea last May when he was hired. He started to get a bit of one through the summer when he started to get to know a lot of these young men off the ice. And certainly when camp opened last September, he started to get a really good idea. And now he has a great idea of what he has with him. He said that this morning, too, of course, he reminded, too, that, you know, obviously there's got to be quite an upgrade in skill here overall. But you have to set that foundation first of what you expect in every game. And I think for the most part, the players responded well. Not Friday or Thursday night in Philly, they were fine. But you know, the game before that against Columbus wasn't great. Tonight it wasn't great either. But overall, I think that, you know, where this team came effort-wise, the players who remained from last year, it's like night and day.
Terry, I mean, I've been informed by Matty Brown, producer, that there will be meetings tomorrow. I believe there's a presser tomorrow at 10 a.m. down at the ACC. I'm just curious, who do you think is going to be the last time that you're going to see in a Leaf jersey who will not be coming back almost 100% next season and will be moving on and away from the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, it's, you know, obviously the easy pickings there are the men who are headed for unrestricted free agency. A guy like you know, P.A. Parenteau scores his 20th tonight. The only Leaf to score 20 goals this season. Dearly wants to come back. With all these guys, I don't know that that's going to happen. Brad Boyes is another one. Michael Grabner. You know, it's one thing that Babcock touched on both with talking to us this morning too, and then after the game he briefly touched on it again was, you know, if they're free agents, there's not really much to tell them tomorrow, and they can't make any guarantees to them. They have to see where these things settle with the draft and everything else and what other things they might do via free agency and trades. But, you know, obviously the goaltending, you have to take a look there. Jonathan Bernier is under contract for next season, but I don't know how much confidence either the coaching staff or the management has in him at this point. So he's somebody that, you know, could be replaced. I mean, I think it's open, guys. I think, you know, the two important players going forward are restricted free agents, Morgan Rielly and Kadri, of course. And, you know, I would imagine I don't see a scenario where neither of those two are back. I think they both will be. But, you know, that's one of the curious things now going into the offseason. You know, one thing we expect a lot, of course, is that a lot of these kids who had the look late will be counted on to be vital parts of the team next year. So what does that do to the players that, you know, who have been injured and haven't been around. I would imagine James Van Riemsdyk is back. I think Tyler Bozak's going to be an interesting guy to watch in the off season. Not that I have any, you know, inside info that he's going to be traded for sure, but I just think a lot of it's open. They're still in that phase, put it that way. Like I say, two or three guys where you look at, say, okay, I'm pretty sure he's going to be back, but I still think there's a lot of upheaval coming with this roster.
I want to ask you, Terry Koshin joining us from the Toronto Sun, before the game even started, all the action this afternoon, and how about that team that eliminated the Leafs last in game number 7, 2 years in a row, this year in particular, wow, talk about an 18-wheeler going off the road with the Boston Bruins, and what your and everybody else's consensus is about what they think may or may not happen.
Well, a guy like, you know, I would agree with most with people who are saying, well, if the Bruins part ways with Claude Julien, he's going to be, you know, out of work for a minute or two. You know, it's a bit of a different one there. You know, a guy like Milan Lucic, did he mean that much to that team? You know, he's been out of that now and not there. You know, you saw it was a tough break for them today, not having Rask for the last game, guys. But again, you know, it should, with that team, should it have come down to this last game? Probably not. But to be spanked like that by Ottawa, of all teams, that has enough turmoil and enough uncertainty surrounding their coach. Who knows? You know, but maybe the decision there in Boston is a Claude Julien coaching change, and we'll see. But, you know, you'd still think that looking at that roster, you know, Bergeron, Thier, Brad Marchand, there's some good pieces there moving forward for them. David Krejci, of course, and others. So, you know, it's a couple of years now, and who knows? Maybe it is time for a change there. But like I say, if Julien's gone, he won't be able to work for long.
Well, Terry, one place that did make a quick change was the Pittsburgh Penguins. Mike Johnson was replaced by Mike Sullivan. Good buddy of mine, I want to get your opinion. Do you think Mike Sullivan would be considered for the Jack Adams Award after what he's done with the Penguins since he took over the reins from Johnson?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, Todd. I haven't given that much thought, but certainly the way that team has rebounded overall, he's got to get some consideration. I saw the comment that was made about Sidney Crosby earlier in the season. He didn't look too interested, but as things kind of ratcheted up and, you know, the Penguins were going a bit south, he found it again. And, you know, going into the playoffs now, I mean, how are they not considered a contender to come out of the East? I know, you know, the Washington Capitals doing what they're doing and everything, but the Penguins, I know they have some injuries to integral players and that. You have to like the job that's been done there. And you know, again, when you have Sidney Crosby to kind of work with and then go from there, you're probably going to be able to do some good things. So, again, we'll see. But Coach of the Year, I'm sure there'll be some consideration. But, you know, I guess it's kind of hard to stay still at this point.
Hey, Terry, we really appreciate all the time throughout the season that, you know, busy game for you and joining us. It's always been enjoyable, informative. Thanks very much again for doing that tonight and for all year.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it at all, guys. I'm glad it's
over. Hey, it was fun to have you up in the booth all the time, Terry. I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it was good, guys. And I appreciate it having me on like you did. And, you know, I just think overall that, you know, I don't know, the Leafs are going to be a playoff team next year, but I think there's a little more for this fan base to look forward to. So we'll see. But, yeah, thanks again for sure.
Sounds good. Of course, we'll read it all in the Toronto Sun, Terry Koshin covering them there. We'll take a look. We talked about those games from this afternoon, and why don't you do the Detroit and Philadelphia games, and then I'll do the Ottawa-Boston one because we'll hear some Claude Julien after that.
Yeah, so games of meaning tonight. The Detroit Red Wings were at the New York Rangers, and the Red Wings clinched their 25th postseason appearance with the loss and will face the Tampa Bay Lightnings for the second straight year, which means that the the Boston Bruins ended up losing, and that's how they got in. The Rangers forward Eric Staal was hurt after colliding with Jesper Fast. I did see it. It did not look good for Eric Staal. He did not return to the game. Alain Vigneault said he hopes he will be available for the playoffs, but it was an ugly-looking incident.
And take us to Philadelphia.
Okay, in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Flyers defeated the Pittsburgh Penguins, and this was huge for them. Obviously, got them in the playoffs. Wayne Simmonds scored twice to lead the Flyers to a playoff spot, they eliminated the Bruins with a win and snapped the Penguins' 8-game winning streak. Sidney Crosby and Christopher Letang both were sat out and were healthy scratches. Pens goalie Matt Murray left the game and did not return after Braden Schenn ran into him. And again, not too certain that that's a serious injury. I think he'll be okay.
Good news here on that front. And meanwhile, you talk the Boston Bruins after just an impressive effort the other day against Detroit on home ice. Home ice laid an egg tonight or this afternoon. We're up 1-0, and then Ottawa Senators score six, count them, six unanswered goals. The Boston Bruins lose for the ninth time in their last 12 games after being first place in the Atlantic Division on March 14th. They will miss the playoffs for the second straight season. And, of course, we chatted with Terry Koshan about it, what the future of Claude Julien might be. Here he was just after the game today. The Philadelphia-Pittsburgh game was not quite over yet. Here's Claude Julien, maybe his last game coaching the Boston Bruins.
Just how shocking is it to you that the team responded this way after a game yesterday?
Well, I mean, you know, we all have to accept responsibility here, you know, and our goal was certainly to duplicate our effort that we had against Detroit. And, you know, when you look at what's happened this afternoon, it's even more disappointing because, you know, we could have controlled our own faith again, and we weren't able to do that. And at times this year, we weren't able to do that, you know, and some of those big games. And it's about, you know, the mistakes we kind of made. The puck management at times were an issue for us. So, you know, right now, all we can do is cross our fingers and almost hope for a miracle. That's all that's left for us. So it's totally out of our hands now. It shouldn't have been an issue, Joey. I think, you know, he is a great goaltender, but our team could have easily played much better and allowed, you know, Gus to be the winning goalie today. I think some of the goals that they scored, those tips and a lot of the goals, you know, we didn't give him much help. And if anything, he gave us a lot of help there in that first period. So certainly not the reason for that. And again, you know, that excuses are out the windows. There are none.
You used the juggle and hide comparison in years past, but for this year's group, I mean, is the roster maybe lesser than it was, and when things were going well, were you maybe overachieving?
I'm going to stay away from answering that. I'm going to deal with you know, that kind of stuff with the upper management. This is not something I'm going to discuss publicly.
If you guys do get in, how easy or difficult is it just kind of flip that switch and focus on?
Well, there's no doubt if we catch a break here, there's no doubt we're going to be excited about getting in the playoffs. Right now we're extremely down and rightfully so. And, you know, you again, hoping for a miracle here that's going to give you a second opportunity that at times you look and say, did we really earn it? And you wish you could have earned it by winning tonight.
How difficult is it for you just, you know, as the head coach here, to miss the playoffs? You just know if it does come down.
We're not there yet, Joe, so I'm not answering that question.
Well, you said there's no excuses, but there are reasons why the game turned out. Can you put your finger on the way this game turned out today and why?
I think we just talked about that earlier, about the mistakes, the turnovers. We didn't seem to have our, you know, we weren't moving the puck well. We weren't, you know, the puck pursuit that we had the other night wasn't there also. And, you know, so our A game that we needed tonight just wasn't there. And it's in a lot of areas.
Well, Claude Julien, and of course, Tuukka Rask was ill, was in the pregame warm-up and then took ill, so did not play tonight. So that's what they were talking about there. Maybe his last game coaching the Boston Bruins. Will continue motoring through the out-of-town scores. I'll do Anaheim at Colorado. It's a 5-3 lead, 5-3 win for the Anaheim Ducks over the Colorado Avalanche. The Avalanche made all those trades, you know, including getting Sean Matthias before the deadline. It didn't get them in the playoffs. The Ducks win keeps them in the race to win the Pacific Division. If the Kings lose in regulation against the Jets, they clinch it. They can also take the division with a win in Washington tomorrow. Man, they got to fly all the way across the country to make up that game that was canceled for weather reasons. And right now it's 3-2. The Kings are leading the Winnipeg Jets after two periods of play.
Yeah, and actually, Gord, if the Kings can clinch the Pacific Division with a win tonight against the Jets, and it would be the Kings' second division title in their history. And if the Kings win, they will record 103 points, and that's the second most in history. With 26 home wins as well, LA would be is one shy of setting a Kings record. So, okay, now in Washington, like we said, they'll be playing Washington tomorrow. They ended up continuing hot into the finals into the playoffs. They won 5-1 over St. Louis. Alexander Ovechkin notched his 15th career hat trick to reach 50-goal mark. It's the seventh time in his career he's done it. That is crazy. Braden Holtby matched Martin Brodeur's single-season win record with 48, his 48th win of the season, and he did it in less. He did it 12 games less than it took for Martin Brodeur. So you'll get a chance to break it tomorrow as they host the Ducks.
Dallas 3-2 over Nashville. Jason Spezza had the natural hat trick, reached 300 career goals, and the Stars came back from a 3-2 deficit, clinches the Central Division for Dallas and home ice throughout the Western Conference.
And the Montreal Canadiens took care of business at home, defeating the Tampa Bay Lightning 5-2. Max Pacioretty became the fifth Habs player with three straight 30-goal seasons since Mark Napier and Steve Shutt in 1981-82.
A quick one, Buffalo 4-3 winners in overtime against the New York Islanders. Edmonton and Vancouver, kind of irrelevant now. They are tied 1-1 in that game. Hey, it's been a slice. We'll be back on Saturdays, and we'll be doing some playoff stuff too. But it's been a great year, Todd.
Yeah, it's been awesome, Gord. I wish the Leafs season would have been a little bit better, but, you know, things are things, and they are what they are. They got a 20% chance of winning the Austin Matthews draft.
We've been there. Leafs Nation postgame, a 5-1 Devils win over the Leafs. Gord Stellick, Todd Olushko. Leafs Nation postgame, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.